Hello, and welcome to The Musical Activist. I'm Sarah Nichols. I'm a pianist and composer, and I wanted to find out how, as a musician, I can respond to the headline that we've got 12 years to save the planet. On Saturday, the 12th of October, I went up to Trafalgar Square and the Extinction Rebellion protests. I spent a lot of time going around with the Stroud Fringe Choir, who sang beautifully, and they'd brought their own songs. And I just asked people who were listening to them why they were there. So I'm starting my day in Waterstones. And this is the Culture Declares panel. There's going to be, we've got like a link up with Bristol, and various people are just going to be talking about culture and activism. And in a minute, we're going to go out to Trafalgar Square, which is looking a little bit edgy, I've got to say. There's a lot of police, and apparently they've closed the stage, so we're going to find that out in a minute. But for now, I'm sitting next to Fainty. Do you want to say hello?
Hello, hi.
And you're going to chat about some stuff. What do you do?
What do I do? Good Lord.
What
am I doing here? I'm going to chat about my involvement with the environmental movement, how I got involved, what I'm doing, what I can challenge other people to do.
And what is it that you do? Are you a theatre maker or?
Very recently, yeah. It's not something I saw in the plan at all. But it's what I'm becoming, have become.
What, did you used to be a writer or an actor?
No, an actor. Okay. I still am an actor. But now I'm more stuff than I was before, so.
So have you sort of gone the route of like acting other people's work and now you're creating your own? Is that sort of?
That is absolutely right.
That's the same as me.
Oh, really?
Because I was a pianist for, 20 years playing other people's music and then sort of just started making my own. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, to find your own voice?
It's a very bizarre thing, but also not bizarre because it wasn't contrived. It just kind of happened naturally. Imagine it's a bit like when someone discovers like a new like condiment, like a... someone must have accidentally come up with ketchup, like accidentally come up with brown sauce. And it's like, oh, that's quite good, actually. Yeah, I wasn't trying to make that, but I think I could eat with this quite often. So, yeah.
I love the idea that, like, we are the ketchup that needs to be added to society to make it taste better, right?
Damn straight.
Damn straight. Excellent. So let's hope our condiments help change the world, right?
Condiments of truth.
Condiments of truth. That's brilliant. Thank you. Tuning up for the rebellion. These guys are not messing around. They've literally got actual manuscript.
I'll sing alto with you.
They've got their notes.
So
So now the choir are moving towards Trafalgar Square, and there's a lot of tourists, there's a lot of people with umbrellas, it's raining, there's a lot of people standing on the statue, there's drums and horns, and yeah, it's probably also quite like a normal Saturday in London, right? Because there's a lot of people here and it's busy. National Portrait Gallery, nice pedestrianised area.
You can just like start there.
So, usual row of taxis and buses in London. It's kind of looking a bit different. The lion's got an XR symbol on him and there's a bunch of tents in Trafalgar Square. But, yeah, a lot of just normal people going about their business. So we're crossing the road now, and let's see what's going to happen.
Where's the stage?
Did you write the songs?
I wrote so far, the first one, so far.
It's really beautiful.
Part of my
song.
Requiem, which seems appropriate.
Yeah, quite right.
But yes, all the songs are written by Stroud Fringe Choir members. So
nice.
This is an emergency. It's by Blythe Papino.
Oh, Blythe Papino. Okay, yeah.
Who's very active.
Strike, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's on the Culture Declares panel right now.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my friends. I didn't want to trouble you when you were having such a fine time. This is an emergency. Your house is all on fire. And if we do not rise up now, all this will turn to ashes. I'm sorry, my friends. I didn't want to trouble you. You were having such a hard time. But this is an emergency. The waters are all rising. And so we have to rise up now, or we will soon be drowning. Sorry, my friends, that we have all been arguing, and now we're nearly out of time. But this is an emergency, there'll be no food for eating, and so we have to rise up now. This night will be for fighting. I'm sorry, my children. I didn't want to frighten you. And this is no ghost story. This is an emergency. Our leaders have all failed us. So we have to rise up now and join the rebellion. And so we have to rise up now and form the rebellion.
So, somebody who was just listening to the choir there, do you want to say anything about your experience?
Kind of really moving listening to the choir. I think it really tapped into a certain emotion that people are feeling around climate change, a kind of a mournfulness. And I see culture in that respect is really important as a way to kind of help people to explore the emotions that they might be feeling around something that's so difficult to comprehend. It was fantastic just to be there with other people and kind of see the breadth of different people that are here kind of standing together to show that this is something that is kind of critically too important to us at this moment.
Yeah, it's not just Crusties, as they were named, right? I was an academic. You're a professional, are you?
Yeah, I work in museums. My husband's a banker. In fact, we were talking about that earlier, that you know, some people like to segment us and kind of think that we can only be one thing and not another. But I think actually, if you looked at the kind of the diversity of people here today, there's people from every walks of life coming here to say that this is important to us.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much. So we're in Trafalgar Square and the choir have found a little stage, which is really nice. And I bumped into somebody standing next to me.
Hello.
And you said it's your second...
This is like my biggest march protest thing I've attended. The first one was in 2015, about when they wanted to do the strikes against Syria or not, but they went ahead with it anyway. And I can't believe there's so many people from, like, not even just from London, but outside of the UK and around the world coming together, like, for what they believe in, and, you know, to change the world and help, you know, reduce the activities that lead towards, you know, like climate change. And,
and you said it's good that the bad weather isn't putting them off, right?
Yeah, that's what I was. Today's my first day off in like a year, so I've come here just for this.
Good for you.
Yeah, and it's a really big turnout. It's different people, and it's just good to see people smiling and just happier, you know, and believe in a common thing.
Yeah, exactly. We're just gathering together, aren't we? And like, it's such a massive range of people, right?
Yeah. It's just happy just to say hello to anyone.
Excellent.
It doesn't happen in London.
Quite. Yeah, you're right.
It's suspicious. Like, when someone's being nice to you, like, what? What do you want?
Right. But because we're here and we've gathered because we care about something, then actually everyone is a friend, right?
It's like, even if I hold the door open for someone, they're like, what?
Right. What are you going to do? Are you going to pickpocket me, sort of thing? Yeah.
I don't have much money, man. So I can't steal.
Yeah, nice. That's a very nice point. Right, here's a gentleman giving out leaflets. Hello, I know all about this. Would you like
to
tell us about it on doing a little podcast?
Okay. Stop Ecocide is an international campaign to change the international law, together with the law of crimes of aggression, genocide, and crimes against war, okay? This is an effort to change international law to make it criminal for those responsible, the CEOs and the government ministers who support huge destruction of the environment, okay? Our hope is that people will join into this movement. And the big companies and the governments are going to listen to that. The insurance and the banks are going to withdraw their support from the big companies. And that is going to turn the whole Earth ship around.
Yeah, nice. And so it's tackling the problem through law. And if people want to learn more about it, they can go to
www.ecocide.earth.
Nice one. I'll take a leaflet anyway, because it'll remind
me
to. Nice one. Thank you.
Cheers.
There you go. You have one as well. There you are. So this is about becoming like a conscientious protector. So basically what you can do is, if you sign up for it,
definitely,
then essentially it gives you a sort of, it's about the law, basically. So it's about changing the law so that, you know, you can't perform genocide, like genocide's illegal. And that the same way you shouldn't be able to sort of rape and pillage the earth, right? And so that's what this is about. So it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, tackling it on our bit, right? I guess.
Yeah, we have to do our bit. That's it. So the choir are looking a little bit wet now. It's definitely raining, isn't it?
It's going to rain heavier, more later.
It's kind of getting heavier. We're warming up for the Extinction March later. There's going to be a march from Marble Arch, I think.
Yeah, how far
cool.
is that from here? I don't know.
Marble Arch is sort of which way is it? So I feel like it's sort of that way. Yeah.
We'll go wherever the crowd is.
So it's very nice to meet you. So just still in Trafalgar Square, we're now by an amazing sort of green, I think they call it the barn, right?
It's called the barn, yes.
And why are you compelled to be here?
Well, because we're in a existential crisis which needs some action from our governments, and they're not doing a lot, so we come to put some pressure on them.
Well said.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, we bought this crazy, ridiculous barn up to have a...
Oh, you brought it?
Yes.
I saw you carrying it the other day on Tuesday. It was amazing.
Yeah, well, it's good fun carrying, you know, 2 tons of wood up through London. But, yeah, it's all made on a steam-powered wood saw, cutting saw, all
really?
Around done by hand, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Felled by hand, pulled by horse.
Where did you make it?
In South Somerset. Tinker's Bubble in South Somerset. It's a sustainable community. Fossil-free community. So.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How many people live on the community?
It's about 16 people. I live in the village just by it. But okay. Yeah, there's 15, 16 up there at the moment.
Wow.
Family. Eve, that did a speech on Monday at Lambeth, lives up there. And yeah. It's a really nice, lovely little spot.
And so the barn, really, I guess you were thinking sort of communal... just cover, just protection, right? And so can you, have you been sleeping in it, or is it just sort of to provide shelter?
No, we've been sleeping in it. Yeah, originally it was going to be well-being, but we weren't actually sure whether we'd get it to the bridge, so well-being sorted themselves out with another place just in case.
Right.
But we did deliver it to the bridge, and then we had to carry it up here, and now, yeah, at the moment it's a bit kind of a meeting place, storage place for the samba band drums.
Yeah.
But
it must be welcome in this weather, right?
Yeah, it seems that way. People are using it.
And have you been able to speak to many members of the public? Like, how do you think it's being received, the whole action?
I haven't interacted with much of the public myself, but I think, you know, they're coming through here, and most of them appreciate what we're doing, I think.
Yeah.
And are interested in how we're going about what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because it's not something you see every day on the streets of London.
Yeah.
But maybe it is.
Do you feel like you've had to be brave to be here?
Not personally. I mean, you know, I'm quite capable of doing things beyond the normal, but, you know, this is extraordinary for some people, you know, pushing their boundaries, doing things they haven't done before. I've had friends that have been arrested up here for the first time in their lives, you know, so...
Yeah, because the media sort of trying to paint this kind of everyone's just a waster thing is such so insulting, isn't it, right? And in fact, most of the people who've been arrested have no criminal record whatsoever, right?
No, that's. I mean, the chap that I mentioned there worked for the BBC, so, you know. Yeah, he used to, yeah. You know, he's first time he's ever been arrested, you know, but he wants to put himself forward. We're all putting ourselves forward to stand up for the cause, for what we believe to be the right thing to do, which is address this climate crisis we're in. So.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, pleasure. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing the barn.
Thanks.
So, I've met somebody who's happy to be identified as working in a bank.
Yes, I'm very happy.
He's at the XR protest. Do you want to just share your thoughts about the issue and also about the protest?
Well, the issue is obviously very important because it affects everyone. And the thing I like about the protest is that it does involve everyone and it is very inclusive of everyone's backgrounds. It's not just crusties, like Boris Johnson said. I work in a bank, I work in the city. I'm very supportive of everything going on here. And we all have to be in it together and not make it become factionalized or partisan where it's solved.
Right,
because it will need finance, people in finance to help change it.
And interestingly, the International Monetary Fund did make a statement a couple of days ago, didn't they, where they said, you know, like, we've got to deal with climate change, otherwise most businesses will go bust.
Yeah. Well, I think there's now an acknowledgement in these hierarchies that it is a reality. You know, you are a loon if you deny it now. And there are only a few people in power that still are in denial that the fact climate change is happening. And it's good that people are recognising. It just needs to speed up.
In your workplace, what you know, is there sort of chat about the protesters? Would you say everyone's as sort of open-minded or as sort of on it as you are? Or is there a sort of them and us type feeling? Like, what do you think about that?
I think there's probably a danger of a them and us thing happening, like all these things. But there is talk about green issues, about climate change in the bank as a whole. There was a address in the bank I work with recently from the head of the bank, and he had an open question and answer session, and over 50% of the questions were about what is the bank doing to address climate change, how do we invest in sustainable future, how do we change things internally. So people are...
So very proactive, actually.
Proactive, yeah. Whether things come of that, I don't know. Things move slowly.
Well, I think that's what we're all learning, right? That, like, I mean, for me, it was the IPCC report that came out and said, right, you've got 12 years to sort this out. So from your point of view, you see the possibility that the city can be completely contributing, and it's a case of working out how and how quickly, and is that sort of about right? You don't feel like it's a case of sort of all the people in the city, you know, they don't care. It's not that.
No, it's not that, but there are a lot of people you have to change. It's not just the people who finance these things, it's the countries that generate all these fossil fuels and money, and they come from many non-democratic societies where it's difficult to change that.
You know, it's interesting though, because a startling fact I learned recently is that our country, the UK, actually funds like fossil fuels more than any other European country, which is so depressing.
Well, I guess we've got a history of big oil companies, you know, so maybe it comes from that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. In the we're just standing next to the Stroud Choir still in the background, which is so lovely. They're just sort of roaming, and you know, actually, Culture Declares Emergency and other sort of cultural organisations have been putting pressure on culture places to divest. And the RSC and the National Theatre last week did. Is that a thing that banks could do, do you think, to divest from fossil fuels?
Yeah.
Do you see that like as a possibility?
I think so, but they need something to invest in and divest in. It's all, everyone realises a problem, but what is the solution? I think you have to strike out and say, well, we're going to invest in this thing and you have to come along with us, and then the money will follow.
and for me, one of the frustrations is the government sort of reversing on renewables, right? Taking away the funding for solar panels or for electric cars, and it's just like, oh man, don't reverse, not now. Like, this is right. Thank you so much for talking to me.
That's right. My pleasure.
Wow, somebody's about to do something exciting, I think. What are they going to do? How intriguing. Somebody's taken some clothes off and they're walking towards the square. I don't know what they're going to do, but it looks exciting. They're naked and they've got white suits on with dollar signs. Yeah, it looks like it might be interesting. I have completely lost the choir that I'm meant to be following. I got massively distracted by the action that seems to be going on. So basically, some people have built a tower, as I understand it, and it's now being dismantled by the police. There's a fence. Maybe the people are behind the fence. Yeah, okay, that's...
We love you! We love you!
Okay.
We love you!
Everyone's shouting, we love you. Oh, I see. So the police have sort of cordoned off a bit. This is quite exciting. There's, I don't know, several hundred people standing around chanting. And, what do you think about it? I'm just recording.
Okay, all right.
What, have you been here a while?
A few hours.
A few hours. So, the police have sort of isolated the area where the tower is. Is that what's happened?
I'm not sure.
There's loads of drums. I can't see. Oh, I think the drums are the other side of the fence. Okay, I'm going to go and try and find my choir. Hello. Would you like to say why you're here? Are you observing?
See what's going on. Spreading the message.
It's definitely the action point right now, isn't it?
We're just thinking, what's the world going to be like when these guys are our age?
Yes, so you're holding a one-year-old?
She's two.
She's two. Hello. Your mummy's doing this for you. That's nice, isn't it?
Oh,
look at that.
I'm sure there are some.
I think they're not like
bumped into somebody and he's got a really nice bowl of food. Did you get that actually from the XR kitchen?
Not the actual XR kitchen, this is the Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
the people. Yeah, they come every day. I think they are like propping up Extinction Rebellion.
Well, that's amazing.
It is so
it looks
good.
Very tasty.
And there's a pakora today.
Oh.
So it has been lentil, dal, every day. But I'm definitely not complaining. But the pakora is very, very special. Weekend treat. Yes.
We're happy about the pakora. So how long have you been here?
Been here since Sunday night.
Last Sunday night.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah,
god.
Yeah.
Are you knackered?
Well, I've had a day off.
Right.
In the middle on Wednesday. And I've been lucky enough to stay at a friend's as well. So I've been having some good sleeps and I've had a hot shower and stuff like that. So I feel okay.
And
yeah.
Why are you here?
Why am I here?
It's a bit of a big question, I appreciate.
It's a huge question. I'm here because we have to do something, and I think my whole life I've felt like I know that something needs doing, but I haven't known in what avenue to go down because everything seems futile and hopeless. Do you go into politics? Do you write songs? Do you write plays? What do you do to do it? What do you do? And it all seems to end in the same place of just like maybe a tiny modification, or nothing seems to affect the huge systemic problem that we've got. So this is the first thing I've ever been involved in, really, that feels like it's got huge momentum.
Right. Yeah,
and people like,
right.
Yeah, that solidarity. And I think that, I mean, it has to be, even if it doesn't work, you have to give it a go. So that's why I'm here.
And would you like to say anything about the breadth of people that you've noticed are involved?
Yeah.
Because the media have said a lot about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so, it is like the most, for me, the most important thing, the most important challenge for Extinction Rebellion is to make it inclusive, make it open to people. And yes, it is like predominantly white middle class environmentalists who are involved, but I don't think it's as monocultural as the media are painting. I think this time round has been a lot, they've done really good work on like not stressing the arrest so much. So it's like, come and be involved in whatever way you can. You don't have to get arrested. The arrests aren't being so celebrated as they were in April, which I think is great because that's something that is quite exclusive for people.
Only when the last tree has died, the last river has been poisoned. Only when the last tree has died, the last river has been poisoned. Only when,
only when,
only when, only when the last fish has been caught. Only then,
only then,
only then,
will we.
Realize.